Longest tenured assistant for legendary coach Eddie Sutton. Winner of 220-plus basketball games at the Division I level. 40-year coaching veteran, NCAA insider, and most importantly, the father of two and grandfather of one. He's the one and only James Dickey. Eddie's here with Casey on TV 31 at 1.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. Now, here's the irony in that open. James Dickey was introduced as my co-host, and Coach, of course, left Oklahoma State just a few weeks ago, and right up until that time, he was my co-host, and because of the events of today, I have spoken to James Dickey, and man, what a crazy time it is, what a crazy day it has been, and my time and this day has been consumed by an incredibly large breaking story that we are going to delve right into with our first guest. But I need to tell you, we are broadcasting live from Bank First. Going to be a busy day. But if you have not heard, the FBI has again made arrests involving an Oklahoma State associate head coach, Lamont Evans, for Oklahoma State. And that has consumed many fans and many of us in the media, including our guest, Brett McMurphy, who joins us now. And Brett, certainly a pleasure to have you with us on the show.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good to talk to you.
Brett, obviously, you know a little bit about college athletics. You know a lot about Stillwater, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. And, you know, this thing is still so fluid and so much going on. It's almost impossible to even know all the right questions to ask. But let me tell you, or let me ask you, what did you think, find out? How did this thing kind of unfold for you this morning?
Well, pretty much like everybody else, you know, the U.S. attorney, you know, through, I guess, I think it was NBC News was the first to report it, that they would have a noon press conference and basically reveal all this information about 10 individuals who have been arrested involved in college athletics as far as corruption, fraud, bribery. The biggest thing to take away from this is there are going to be a lot more people involved in this. It's impossible to say how many, but I think that's pretty obvious. The fact that the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office has put out a phone number for people to call in with information kind of shows the scope of this thing. And another thing that is a very big difference between this and simply the NCAA, you know, dealing with this, is that there were wiretaps. They have individuals on conversations. They have documents. They can force people to testify in a court of law, where the NCAA does not have that power. So, you know, basically, I guess it's going to take a while. I mean, this investigation, I think, the U.S. attorney said has been going on for 3 or 4 years. They basically had somebody that had been arrested on another matter and basically made a kind of this information kind of fell in their lap as kind of a plea deal, and they've been working on this for several years. So it is going to reach out and hit all aspects of college basketball. Yeah, I joked on Twitter that the NCAA tournament will be open to every team next year, regardless of record, that's not on probation. And yes, that means all 12 of them. So it's gonna hit everybody. The question is, how many head coaches are going to be implicated in this? I wonder if you might see, and I'm not specifically pointing out any individuals, but I wonder if we might see certain coaches all of a sudden in a couple months announce their retirement, you know, saying they want to spend time with their family, yeah. i.e. I don't want to get pulled down in all this. So we've never seen anything on this scale involving college athletics, and where it goes ultimately, I have no idea, but it's going to be unprecedented.
You know, and I chuckled because I had seen that tweet, and we talked about it around our station. And you know, Brett, let's start with a little bit of a basic question, though, and it is this. And you have more far-reaching access to programs than I do. But but I've been around for a really long time and have had many conversations on a smaller scale that you have. And, Brett, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Well, you know such and such is going on. Now, I can't prove any coach is paying any player, but I have enough connections and enough people to tell me, well, that didn't happen by accident, and that didn't happen by accident. And this accusation of clothing companies and tennis shoe companies and their connection with recruiting and what camps you go to and all, this is all presumed to have gone on for so long in my world, in my knowledge of this, that I almost thought we had gotten to a point that nobody cares. Now, maybe the FBI cares because now we've got tax evasion fraud. We've got legalities, not just cheating on the front of the NCAA. But are you surprised at the timing? Was there a different catalyst that made them really go, okay, no, we really do need to deal with this thing?
No, I don't think they were specifically saying we want to target college athletics. I think, as I mentioned, they had somebody that they had charged for another crime, and basically in their discussions with this individual, who they have not made public who that individual is, he said he had information regarding this sort of activity, and so all of these accusations include fraud across state, wire fraud, breaking several laws, and so then it became, you know, something of interest to the FBI, and then they you know, just followed the yellow brick road, if you will, and had a boatload of information. I'll be interested to see how the NCAA reacts to this, because, you know, these people are going to jail, unless they can cut some kind of plea deal. This isn't like, okay, you're on probation. I mean, you're going to jail. So how many get drawn up in it? We're going to have to find out. But you're right as far as kind of everybody cheats. You kind of just accept that. I text a former Power 5 assistant coach that I'm close with, and I'm like, of all the, you know, there's in football, there's 65 power conference schools. I said, how many of those cheat in basketball? And he said, everyone. It just matters what level of cheating there is. Now, obviously, this type is a whole another level, and I'm not trying to say that every school does this, but you see a lot of schools that have been named already, you know, Oklahoma State, Louisville, Miami, Auburn, and those coaches have been at a lot of different schools. So it's not like this is the first time they did this and they got caught. It's kind of like when you get caught speeding. It's not the first time you drove over the speed limit. It's the first time you got caught speeding. So, you know, how long has this gone on? How long has this gone on at other schools where some of these assistants were before they previously got to their current jobs? Some of that stuff will come out in the wash. But I agree. It's almost like people have kind of accepted, well, everyone kind of bends the rules, breaks the rules, and we've just kind of learned to deal with it. But this is a whole nother ballgame.
And I know you don't want to get into prognosticating prediction business on this, but, you know, when you think about a guy like Rick Pitino, who's already been just absolutely laden with controversy that he has somehow been able to skirt and avoid, I'm just curious from a legality standpoint and the reputation of an institution, whether it's Oklahoma State or certainly Louisville and Rick Pitino, what he's already been through. I mean, Mike Boynton doesn't have a history. He has no baggage. Don't know if he could have plausible deniability on a deal like this. Can head coaches have that plausible deniability? It was just a GA. It was just an assistant coach. I didn't know what was going on in my program. Or is this thing so big that if an assistant truly is in the midst of it, it's going to be awfully hard for a head coach to also skate the system, even if they weren't implicated?
Right. Well, that's where it's going to get tricky, because the NCAA has recently changed the way they deal with these issues, in that if an assistant coach commits a violation, the head coach, whether he had knowledge or not, is responsible for that violation. So now, obviously, if you're going to convict somebody and put them in jail, then no, the head coach would obviously have to have knowledge or been involved in the rule breaking. But as far as the NCAA is concerned, yeah, they've actually changed that rule. So again, you know, you just wonder how the NCAA is going to deal with this. Is the U.S. attorney, are they going to wait for the U.S. attorney to finish their investigations and then say, okay, here's what we got, you go do what you have to do, and then they've got the documentation to enforce rules however they want. But as far as spending time in jail, the U.S. attorney would absolutely have to have evidence that the head coach had knowledge, but the NCAA does not have to have that knowledge. All they have to have is the assistant coach having knowledge, and then the head coach is responsible for those actions and can get penalized, and or the school would get penalized.
Basketball is not immune to the accusations of the shadiness that is seemingly now coming to the light. You said that this kind of landed in the FBI's lap, which got them to the point we're at right now. But football is presumed to have that. There are other sports on campuses. Men's basketball, football are primarily the two that the accusations of, even when they're unfounded, they're always thrown out there. Do you think this will have a farther-reaching effect of just basketball programs? Are football coaches, assistant coaches, and people involved with paraphernalia or apparel, are they concerned and swallowing hard going, let's hope it stops here, or do you think it'll reach farther than that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, again, they had wiretaps. They obviously have a lot of information. These are not just – this isn't just a fan – irate fan calling the FBI and saying, hey, this guy cheats. I mean, they have the information. A lot of this is kind of intertwined with how AAU basketball and the shoe companies are involved with college basketball. I don't think, maybe I'm naive, I don't think the AAU-type coaches, which are now the 7-on-7 coaches for football, have as much power or control over the players like they do in basketball, and or the shoe companies have as much power or influence, I guess I should say influence over recruits and potential student athletes that they do in basketball. So I'm not sure if it would reach into the college football ranks, but certainly if, you know, again, they've put out a phone number for people to call with information. If there's legitimate information out there, then you're involved in this, and you know, whether you're football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, you're going to be sweating. You have a lot of sleepless nights until this thing's done. And again, it'll be fascinating to see how this plays out and how many coaches are impacted when it's all said and done.
No doubt it will. And I know you're on a tight schedule. I know you've probably been tugged on a lot today for interviews. Final question. Let me ask you this. Is this Major League Baseball's steroids? It finally brought it all to the forefront, and it at least got cleaned up, or at least seemingly, and some still tried to cheat, but they seem to be getting caught. And ultimately, the game, while scarred, is better for it. Or is this maybe the camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back that says, look, this is not amateur athletics. Quit pretending. Let's start paying these kids. What do you think the eventual fall? I know it's so early to ask that question, but what do you think the eventual fallout from this whole thing will be?
No, I think that's a great analogy, the baseball one with steroids. It's kind of like, you know, wait, Sammy Sosa's like weighs 100 pounds more than he did 3 years ago, and he's hit 95 home runs. Oh, okay. Wow, that's a pretty cool workout program he has. I should try that. You know, I think that's a perfect analogy. I think we're already the tube's out of the toothpaste as far as paying the players, and I think we're still continuing down that path. The biggest issue with that is finding something that works, that works for everybody, whether it's the Power Five conference schools, whether it's football only, we have Title IX restrictions, et cetera. I don't think this necessarily, this isn't like, this poor kid, he should get $100,000 to go to his school of choice. I don't think that will increase the cries for people to get paid. But I do think you're dead on with kind of like steroids in baseball. It will shake the sport to its core, and there will be monumental changes. I don't necessarily think it will heighten the support to get players paid. I think that will remain out there. And every time a conference or a school gets a new TV deal or media rights deal or apparel deal, you'll always hear those. Yeah, but the players get nothing. Tweets and responses out there.
It will be interesting, and you're right. It'll be fascinating just to see where this thing falls when it's all said and done. Brett, we do appreciate your time. Again, I know today's crazy for you more so than even me, but I appreciate the time, and I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. There's Brett McMurphy, and just a crazy, crazy day at Oklahoma State. The rains came down, and then it started to pour, and it just continues to pour on, and things continue to change. Again, it's a very fluid story. We're going to continue to follow it the best we can, and we'll give you any information possible. We have some of the U.S. Attorney's press conference to play. We have coming up Tucker Barnard, the head coach of the Stillwater Pioneers. They're 4-0 on the season, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back to Bank First, we're going to be talking to the one and only Tom Derringer, who is, one of the owners of Derringer's Printing, but he's also one of the guys in charge of the Stillwater Pioneer Athlete Memorial, a great program, and he will. We'll get a chance to talk about the inductees and the ceremonies that are coming up this weekend. We're at Bank First now.